Hi, this is Chris from PleasureMechanics.com. Welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. We are on a summer break right now, but we'd rather you have something to listen to than nothing at all, so we are encoring episodes from our archives. You can find the complete podcast archive at PleasureMechanics.com, and while you are there, sign up for our free mini course, The Erotic Essentials, so we can share our best sex advice with you straight in your inbox starting tonight. Go to PleasureMechanics.com/free to get started. On today's episode, I'm going to share one of my favorite exercises from the late, great Dr. Jack Moran. It's called Peak Erotic Experiences, and it's a framework for thinking about what worked for you in the past and how to make that work for you in the future. This is an exercise I return to over and over with the couples I work with and when I'm doing sex coaching. So enjoy this episode, and I hope it inspires some thought for you this summer about your peak erotic experiences, past, present, and future. We'll be back with you at the end of the summer with new podcast episodes, but in the meantime, enjoy this favorite episode from our archives. Come on over to PleasureMechanics.com to be in touch anytime. We always love hearing from you. Cheers.
Hello, and welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Charlotte.
I'm Chris.
And we are the Pleasure Mechanics.
In this podcast, we offer expert advice and practical strategies so you can experience more sexual pleasure. We use explicit language and nothing is taboo. You can submit a question to be answered on future episodes by heading over to PleasureMechanics.com and hitting the Ask Us Anything button. While you're there, please check out our complete suite of online courses designed to help you master new erotic skills and have the amazing sex you crave. Use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the online course of your choice. In this episode, we're going to be talking about peak erotic experiences. This is a tool that anyone can use to learn a bit more about your eroticism and unlock the secrets to having better sex in the future.
As a culture, we're so used to looking at the problems of life and sex, and we focus so much energy and attention on that. And there's real value and real wisdom that can be discovered by exploring what has really worked well in your personal sex life. And it's a surprising thing, but we're going to delve into why and what you can be doing to see if you can learn a little bit more about your own turn-ons.
This tool comes to us from Dr. Jack Moran, who has since passed on. He was an amazing sex therapist and the author of a few books, including The Erotic Mind, which is one of my favorite books about sex. So you might want to check that out. Jack Moran developed this tool in his clinical sex therapy practice. As Charlotte was saying, instead of focusing on all of the problems that his patients were bringing to him, he started asking questions about his patients' peak erotic experiences. In his book, The Erotic Mind, he says, "I was convinced that if I devoted as much attention to peak sexual experiences as I did to problems, I could eventually discern truths about eroticism that would otherwise elude me. Peaks offer us glimpses of our most authentic, healthiest selves, and thus can serve us as guides to growth." So he developed this tool, and it's a really simple one, and we are going to lay it out for you and encourage you to put it into practice in your own life.
To begin this process, look into your own erotic past and look for the best sex you've had. So in your memory, what were the off-the-chart sex that you have experienced? And begin to examine those experiences.
And you don't have to pick just one. You can pick two or three peak experiences. And it's actually even more useful if you identify two or more, because then you can start noticing what they have in common.
Once you've identified and remembered those moments, begin exploring them in as much vivid detail as you can. So where were you? What were the setting? What were the sensual memories and details? Did those contribute to your turn on? Or was it more the interpersonal power dynamics or the amount of arousal? What were all of the factors that contributed to making this one of your best sex memories ever? And as Chris was saying, notice if there's some commonality between various memories. If there's anything that's similar about those different experiences, you'll begin to get a sense of what really turns you on.
Right. So you want to really be thinking about, as Charlotte said, the sensual memories, the context of the encounter, your erotic space within your own body. Were you really longing for this sex for a long time before it happened? Was it a forbidden pleasure? Was it a surprise? Someone hit on you and you weren't expecting it? What was the context? And then the sensual activities and the kinds of touch you are experiencing that all created this package experience that really sent you off the charts in terms of your own pleasure and turn on. Because sometimes we look at these experiences as if they were kind of serendipitous and just happened to us and they'll never happen again. And we think about them with longing and wish that we could have it, but don't think we'll ever experience it again. And it can become kind of disempowering. Whereas this invitation is inviting you to look at these experiences as maps to something that you can willfully create and recreate in your sex life now. So instead of being a disempowering memory of what was and how good it used to be, you can start thinking about these as maps to your own internal turn-ons that you can deliberately call upon to have better sex.
Right, I think a lot of people, a lot of us, I will say, can be haunted by amazing sex in the past. And that is not a great context to be having sex from in the present. So I love this twisting of let's not try and avoid it or not think about it, but go deeper into the memory of it to try and unlock something about ourselves and our eroticism that we may not have had access to otherwise.
Well, and this comes back to this idea that your sexuality is your own. Sometimes we think about these peak erotic experiences as something that was done to us. There was something about that specific lover or our youth and our beauty when we were young that enabled us to experience so much pleasure. When you think about it in terms of something that came from inside you and that you have the power to recreate, that totally recontextualizes this idea of your peak erotic experiences in the past being an arrow towards your future rather than, yeah, some ghost of the past that will always haunt you that, oh, it was better way back when.
I think a lot of people desire to be desired and to experience high levels of desire. What does one do if you notice that as a common thread through your experiences? Like, that seems sort of like a harder thing to recreate.
Right. Well, I think there is this balance between knowing that we can recreate certain situations and use certain elements to bring into our current sex life and honoring the spontaneity and magic of certain encounters that you can't necessarily recreate, right? If it was your teenage lover that you've been longing for years in your math class, and after the prom, he hit on you and you had this amazing session out in the gazebo, whatever. Like, you'll never be able to recreate that innocence and the newness and the longing of your high school crush, right? Like, that existed in a specific moment of time. But you can notice that that idea of the longing, the forbidden, really turned you on and start using that in your relationship. And so now if you're married, you're never going to have that kind of mysterious longing like you did in the past. But you can start playing games with one another. Like, if you have children and are married and don't have sex very often, plan a vacation, a two-day getaway for a few months into the future, and start fantasizing about it. Start planning what you're going to do to your husband. Start thinking about what kind of experience you can create. And that brings that element of longing into your day-to-day life. So as you're packing your kids' lunches, you can look up at your husband with a wicked smile and say, you know, our getaway to Maine is only 6 weeks away. I've got plans for you. and send him off to work with that sparkle in your eye, and that creates a certain energy between you. And so it's these kinds of translations we need to make. We can't pretend like we can orchestrate every detail of our sex lives and create any kind of chemistry at any moment. But you can put a lot more agency and power into your own hands and choose to create certain erotic energies, certain scenarios, certain behaviors that can come closer to creating those experiences that have turned you on so much in the past. Does that make sense?
That's beautifully said.
Thank you.
And with your random high school experience, can you see Chris's erotica writer coming out there? That was just an erotic scenario plucked from the ether.
So Jack Moran calls peak erotic experiences both gems and onions. You can look at them with the naked eye and see the sparkle, see the desire. And they're onions in that you can peel away layer by layer and start discovering even more. So as Charlotte was saying, you can look back at that prom night scenario we were talking about and pull apart the elements. Maybe they were outside and that outdoor sex is something you can recreate.
We have a great podcast on that, by the way, if you are curious about how to have more safe outdoor sex.
Without risk of being arrested.
Yes, look in our archive. It's a good one.
So outdoor sex, maybe you were smelling the lilacs that were in bloom and you could bring a bouquet of fresh lilacs into your bedroom once in a while. And this will remind you of that experience and bring that arousal forward. Maybe as that boyfriend kissed you, he really nuzzled into your neck and gave you love bites all up and down your collarbone. And that is a specific activity you could ask for. Right? So you pull apart, you identify your peak erotic experiences, and then pull them apart into as much detail as possible and look at it as this assembly of ingredients, this orchestra of instruments that created the symphony of your pleasure, and start identifying what you want more of in your current day life. And this can take you really far. This could keep you busy for a while.
I love the example in Jack Moran's book. One of his first examples is about a man who felt like he was having his desire for his wife was waning because he felt like he was only attracted to young, beautiful women, kind of the centerfold type women. And as he explored his peak erotic experiences with Moran for a while, he realized that actually those reminded him of a previous experience with a previous lover where her excitement and desire for him was what really turned him on. And that his peak erotic experiences with his wife had included a lot of her excitement and desire and lust for him. And he was able to have a conversation with his wife about her increasing passivity in their relationship as the years went on and how that was sort of a turnoff. And in their conversation, she revealed that it was also kind of a turnoff for her. And they were able to get back to this place where she was able to have her unbridled passion for him reawakened, partly because she realized that it was turning him on so much. So it's important to notice that he originally thought that there was nothing ahead for them because her body was aging. And in looking further, in exploring the onion of his erotic memory of somebody else, notice that he discovered that it was the desire and the...
He found that key.
He found the key.
Right. And I think this is a good example, too, of how a conversation about your sex life can be really powerful. And sometimes people contact us and say things like, oh, I couldn't possibly tell my wife I want her to be more passionate in bed. That takes the spontaneity out of it. It takes the romance out of it. But if you have these conversations in a loving way, they can actually be really romantic and really sexy because you're making requests about what each of you wants and desires from one another. And then you can bring that into your bedroom. And so if you say, I really love it when you're passionate and enthusiastic, what can I do to get you there? It becomes this give and take, this back and forth, where you find what will work for you in the here and now of your erotic life together.
In some relationships, it will feel comfortable to share peak erotic experiences from previous partners in conversation. And other relationships, that is going to be a no-no. So you, of course, have to determine that. And there are ways to have these conversations without necessarily bringing up ex-lovers, if that's sensitive, but finding the qualities that you're interested in exploring together. And that's important to distinguish.
Right. This can be a total internal exercise where you do all of this exploration and thinking on your own and then have a conversation or start bringing elements forward into your relationship without ever telling your lover what you're doing. Or you can do this together and both think about your peak erotic experiences, share those stories, get turned on by those stories together. And that's really up to you. Some people are really turned on by hearing about their partner's sexual histories, and other people get really strange and jealous about it. And you know your situation best. So proceed with caution, but guided by your own knowledge about your relationship.
And if you're on the edge and you're not sure if you think that hearing about your lover's exes could be interesting to you or not, I think it's important to frame it as a way to get to know the nuances and the facets of your lover's sexuality in a deeper way, because each of us can only be who we are. We can't possibly be everything to our lover. If you go into conversations with a lot of curiosity, you can learn more about who your lover is and what does turn them on. Perhaps there are ways that you can begin to explore that terrain with your lover, even if at the outset you wouldn't have imagined you'd be able to embody what this ex-lover embodied.
Right, and we sure know a lot about that because, you know, Charlotte and I have both been in relationships with men and trans people and other women of all different kinds.
Stripes.
And sometimes when we hear about each other's histories, especially with men, the first reaction is maybe to get a little jealous and be like, well, I can never provide you with that because I don't have a penis, so whatever. But usually if you dig into the experience, there's all sorts of elements of that erotic experience that go far beyond the phallus that we can provide for one another. And if nothing else, it helps us understand the complexity and totality of one another as an erotic being. And that helps us respect one another more and make love to each other with an understanding of that complexity and of the nuances and of the flexibility of our turn-ons, because we are not just one thing. And so as you look at your peak erotic experiences, don't get locked into, well, this is what worked for me in the past, therefore it's the only thing that will work for me in the future. Use it as a starting point and then be open to having a new peak erotic experience, because the best sex of your life may not have happened yet.
Woof. Oh, man.
And that can always be true. And so as you move forward in your relationship, as you move forward in your sex life, be open to new turn-ons, be open to higher levels of arousal, be open to discovering new parts of yourself that you never knew existed. Cool. And then you can bring that into your future and it keeps on growing. That's one of the fun things about sexuality, is it's always growing, it's always changing. And even if you're in a long-term relationship, having sex with the same person, you can have new sex all the time and explore new parts of your eroticism together.
In conclusion, we encourage you to do some self-reflection and explore this exercise, because we really feel like it is a useful tool for figuring out how to have better sex in the future. And it's one of these ways that we can have so much agency, as Chris was saying, so much control in a way over the kind of sex we have, and stop feeling like sex just is or isn't good, instead of feeling like it's something that we create and craft both with our own desires and through conversation with our lovers.
Go back through your erotic history, pick two or more peak erotic experiences where your pleasure was off the charts, and break them down into as much detail as possible. What was the social context? What were the sensual elements? What were the interpersonal dynamics between you and your lover at the time? What made these experiences so hot for you? And we promise that as you explore these memories, you're going to find little nuggets of wisdom, parts of your eroticism that will help you create better sex in the future. Let us know if you have any questions. We're here to support you every step of the way. You can be in touch at pleasuremechanics.com. Hit the Ask Us Anything button and ask your questions or suggest topics for future episodes of Speaking of Sex. While you're there, please check out our complete suite of online courses designed to help you master new erotic skills and become an amazing lover. We have foreplay mastery, couples massage mastery, courses on erotic spanking, and on anal play for him and her. So no matter what your peak erotic experiences suggest you should explore, we have a course to help you along the way. Use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off an online course of your choice and join us in exploring new erotic skills so you can have the amazing sex life you deserve. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.